Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the State of Florida Sports Podcast, presented by the USA Today Network. Here's your host, Tim Walters.
My good friend Joe Shad of the Palm Beach Post says the Miami Dolphins need to win now. In fact, in his most recent column, he says, now, period. The word spread out over three lines. I added periods for dramatic effect. After selecting seven players in the 2024 NFL draft, have the Dolphins done enough to win now? And should they be satisfied with how they did? To answer those questions and more, I welcome back reporter and columnist of the Palm Beach Post, Hal Habib. Hal's covered the team since before Dan Marino was drafted, so his opinion is one of the few that truly matters. Hello again, everybody. I'm Tim Walters, and thank you once again for joining me on the State of Florida Sports Podcast, powered by the USA Today Network. We were recently named the number one sports podcast in the state by Feedspot.com. Thanks to Feedspot for that honor. As always, this podcast utilizes our Florida Sports Network of beat writers, columnists, and some special guests to bring you up to speed on the most important sports topics. Our Florida network consists of 17 news sites that encompass the state. We encourage you to subscribe to your hometown newspaper, and of course this podcast, to help support the incredible journalism done by our talented staffs. Hal Habib has seen a lot of NFL drafts. Let's bring him in now to get his thoughts on the most recent one. Hal, welcome back to the podcast.
Are we on the clock, Tim? What? How many minutes do we have?
Yeah, the eighth round of the NFL draft is about to start.
Oh, God.
But before we get there, let's start with the first round. How's that? Which now seems like it happened, I don't know, a month ago, even though it's just been a few days. But, you know, the Dolphins having their first round pick since 2021. And there they take the man aptly named Chop Robinson, short for pork chop, from what I understand, the impressive edge rusher that they took at number 21. He's 6'3", 254 pounds out of Penn State. So tell us about this pick a little bit, Hal. Do you like it? How would you grade it? Give us all you got.
Well, he was 14 pounds at birth, and his mother thought that one nickname wasn't enough for a baby that big, so they came up with Pork Chop. He eventually shortened it to Chop, and I'm just wondering, I can't help but wonder, if you're a quarterback and a guy is coming off the edge at you, and you know his name is Chop, what must be going through your mind? You know, it's a good nickname for a pass rusher, I would say. But the real question, seriously, is can he get the job done? Can he be the pass rusher that the Dolphins need him to be, especially while Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips run back into form from very serious injuries? The one thing that you really will hear over and over is that Chop has a really strong first step, very quick, and can be as effective as he is because he can beat people around the edge the way he does. Now, you know, is that going to translate to the NFL level? For a lot of guys, it does. For some, it doesn't. I spent at least 2 years hearing what a great first step Charles Harris had. Did it ever translate to success on the NFL level? No. That's not to say, you know, anything either way about Chop. He hasn't even had his first NFL practice yet. So let's give the guy a chance. Let's see if he can exceed what his college stats were. And that's something I brought up with Chris Greer at his news conference. It was like, hey, Chris, this guy's stats are very unimpressive, to be honest. And Chris had some examples of why that is really not a good indicator, especially for edge rushers. he brought up Danielle Hunter, who was has many fine Pro Bowl years with the Vikings as a pass rusher. And Hunter's last season in college, he had 4.5 sacks. So, you know, in doing research on the top 10 sack production players from last year, in general, their stats weren't great at coming out of college either. So I'm willing to wait and see in the case of Chop Robinson.
Well, yeah, I mean, poor kid just got taken the other night, and he's already got people saying all this stuff about him. Let's see what he can do. But, you know, it seems like Florida State might have missed an opportunity. Shouldn't they have recruited Chop?
Yeah, that would be a good NIL possibility for sure. Chop had some sort of deal going with some sort of meat company up in Pennsylvania, and I'm sure he can, if he has success down here, There'll be some restaurants willing to line up with him, I'm sure.
There you go. All right. And if people are wondering what his real first name is, it looks like Demian, D-E-M-E-I-O-U-N. Do you know how to pronounce that?
Yeah, it's pronounced Chop.
All righty. Well, let's move on to the second pick then there, Hal. They addressed another need that the Dolphins had. They took an offensive tackle in Patrick Paul out of Houston at number 55. Now, this guy, he's the size of a car. He's 6'8", 331 pounds. You know, if Chop has to be fed a lot of meat, I can't imagine what you feed someone that size. But, you know, tell us about him, if he can come in and contribute right away on that Dolphins line that needs some help protecting Tua.
Well, the one thing that stands out about him is that if he stood, let's say, facing the ocean, his right hand would be touching South Beach, and his left hand would be touching Palm Beach. His wingspan is, seriously, 86 and a quarter inches. And just for comparison's sake, Joe Shad, who works with me on the Dolphins, looked up, and Giannis Antetokounmpo's wingspan is 87 inches, just three quarters of an inch greater than Patrick Paul. So I don't know how many edge rushers, including Chop, are going to be able to beat this guy by going around him. You would not expect to see that happen. It's got to be a great advantage. And, you know, part of the thing is I would expect Patrick Paul to be primarily a depth pick for this coming season. We know that Austin Jackson will be the right tackle. We know that Teron Armstead will be the left tackle. And as long as they stay healthy, they'll be in the starting lineup every week. But this could be a good opportunity to start grooming someone for when Armstead does retire, whether it's next year or whenever. So that's part of, I think, what we can expect from Patrick Paul for 2024.
Alrighty, so the Dolphins then, they were going to have to wait a bit for a pick because they're still feeling the sting of the Tom Brady and Sean Payton debacle from way back in 2019. It cost them their first round pick last year and their third round pick this year, so they were going to have to wait till the fifth round, but then they make a trade with the Philadelphia Eagles. They ship away a 2025 third round pick to get a fourth round pick this year. This one, they got a great player, but it surprised me a little bit. They took Tennessee running back Jalen Wright. You know, they've got Raheem Mostert, who had a great year last year. You've got Devon Achane and others in that running back room. Were you a little surprised to see them trade up and take a running back there?
The first part, no. I was not surprised to see him trade up. Second part, yes, I was surprised to see him take a running back. Let's keep in mind there were, what, 103 picks after they took Patrick Paul before they were going to be on the clock again. And so Chris Greer loves to trade during draft weekend. And so why not, you know, get back into the action this year? In terms of Jalen Wright, there are some parallels, I would say, to last year when a lot of the intrigue coming out of the draft was Devon Achane and how good was this kid going to be? How much of an impact could he have? And just how much lightning this guy was going to produce once he got on the field. And up until the time he got injured, you got to say the answer was a whole lot. I mean, his average yards per carry was just off the chart. So now we fast forward to this year, and we're looking at Jalen Wright. And, you know, how do you not look at this guy and not get intrigued by the possibilities for what he can do? He said when we spoke to him shortly after he was picked that he was once clocked at 23.7 miles an hour. That sounds fast because it is fast. They started clocking these guys back in 2020. And, you know, nobody really, you just don't see figures over 23 in very rare cases, really. Raheem Mostert's biggest number was in 2020, 23.09 miles per hour. And on top of that, the one thing that we do know for certain is that at the combine, Wright was clocked at 4.38 in the 40. So all of that are, you put that together, and those are some startling numbers. If he can back up those numbers once he gets on the field, no one's going to care how many running backs the Dolphins have already. It's just going to be, hey, they got this guy. He can make things happen, and that's all that matters. Now, wow. At the same time, I don't want to be 100% endorsement on this because, let's face it, there's only one football. They have Mostert, they have HN, they also have Jeff Wilson. And let's not forget Chris Brooks, who was a rookie last year, showed an awful lot for the few times that he was on the field in one piece. Chris Brooks is not going anywhere either. And so how are they going to make all of this work? That's Mike McDaniel and Frank Smith's problem. But it's going to be an interesting problem for them to solve. And it'll be fun to watch how these guys all mesh together.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he runs faster than most cars in the villages go. All right, well, we'll see how that one works out. But like I said, I watch a lot of SEC football, and I know how good he is. So, you know, that could be fun with all of those speedsters. They still need to get that race together that they always talk about. But, you know, let's move on to the fifth round, where the Dolphins, they had the number 158 pick. They took an edge rusher, Muhammad Kamara, out of Colorado State. Now, I'm pretty sure nobody in Florida, aside from when Colorado played Colorado State, the Dion Bowl, probably didn't see much of the Rams play. So what can you tell us about him? And I'm curious, I see the spelling of the last name. Is he related to Alvin Kamara?
No, to the best of our knowledge, no. Unless he's like some sort of fifth cousin or something, I don't think he is at all. But interesting guy. You know, they say you can never have too many edge rushers, and I would agree with that, especially in this era of football. You know, as a guy who covers the Dolphins, I'm glad to see him here, in part because when we started talking with him, he was not afraid to say what was on his mind at all. And the one quote that really jumped out for everybody was he was talking about how he was on the board until pick 158, and he expected to go higher. And he's going to play with the proverbial chip on his shoulder. And in his words, quote, "I'm going to roast the whole NFL." Those are words that we're going to see repeated over and over. And especially if he does roast the NFL, but even if he doesn't, he knows what sort of bar he set for himself there, and he's going to have to live up to it. And if he does, well, great, you know, good for him.
If not, he's going to get roasted, that's for sure.
Yeah, I remember many years ago, there was a receiver the Dolphins picked, and his quote on draft day was, "I'm the prototype wide receiver." Unfortunately, he was the prototype draft bust.
All right, we'll keep an eye on Mr. Kamara. We'll tuck away that quote, and we'll revisit that after the season. So they had three more picks. The Dolphins had three more picks the rest of the way, one in the sixth round at 184, and then two in the seventh at 198 and 241. Now, I want to talk about the 184 and the 241 picks because they were both wide receivers. At 184, it was a trade via the Bears from a previous time, but they took Malik Washington, who's a receiver out of Virginia. And then their very last pick, they took Taj Washington. So I guess they didn't want to spend too much on jerseys. You'll just see the name Washington and they'll share it maybe. But what can you tell us? Do either wide receivers, given you have Tyreek Hill, given you have Jaylen Waddle, are these guys more developmental? Could we see one of them on the field, both of them special teams? What do you see with the two Washingtons?
Well, the Dolphins have a need for a number three wide receiver. They took these guys in the sixth round and seventh round. Are they the answer? You know, maybe, maybe not. When you take a guy that deep into the draft, there's only so much you can expect going in, really. All the guys they picked in the area we're talking about are going to be relied upon to help on special teams, for one thing. And whatever they can do on offense, or in the case of McMorris, on defense, whatever they do there is great, but they do contribute at all in the offense or defense. One thing that kind of impressed me looking at Washington is that he was very effective, I thought, on tape, catching the ball in traffic, cutting across the middle, doing all sorts of things like that, things that make you think that he can be a productive player in the slot. Seems to have some good hands. And, you know, you look at his numbers coming out of college. Last year he had 110 catches, 1,400 receiving yards. Those are some pretty good numbers. So let's see what he can do. Can he come close to at least giving you something as a rookie in that base offense? Maybe not.
All right. And then the last pick was at 198, and that was a safety. His name is Patrick McMorris. So what can you tell about Patrick? Are we going to see him very much this year?
I think you'll see him on special teams. They're going to certainly give him a shot there. You know, all of these guys have had some sort of experience on special teams at San Diego State, where he played before going to Cal. He was on all sorts of special teams units. So, you know, let's not forget that with the new kickoff rule and all, the special teams coordinators are going to be doing a whole lot of experimenting, trying to figure out what they need to do in order to maximize their kick return units and their kick coverage units. No one really knows for sure. Is it a speed thing now? Is it a size thing? Who knows? It'll be fun to see, though, that's for sure.
All righty. And are there any undrafted free agents we should know about that have come about since the draft ended?
You know, every year there are one or two who sort of make themselves known in training camp. It's kind of early to tell right now. That's the route that the Dolphins used for guys like Kader Keu and some others, where you kind of hit the jackpot every now and then, and you know, that's where they're fishing for right now.
All right, so now it's time for you to put on your schoolmaster's hat, and we're going to grade the Dolphins' overall draft. How would you say that they did, Hal? Where would you put it if you've got your red pen out and you're about to put a big grade on top of the page?
Oh, I'm not a big grade guy at this point without seeing these guys in a Dolphin uniform. You know, I would put them probably above average with a chance, especially this year, maybe more so than most years, potential for this grade to, you know, elevate into A range, potential for this draft class to sink into, you know, even a below average area. I wouldn't say I have conviction in one way or another at this early stage. I want to let my eyes determine more than anything else. So I hate to, you know, not give you a definite one way or the other answer, but I'm not big on letting these guys, I'm not big on determining that before we see them on the field. That's all I can tell you there.
Sounds like you're giving them a C+ to me.
You know, part of it too is that you try to match up what they got with what they needed, and did they fill all the needs? You know, do they have that third wide receiver? Do they have the depth that they needed at on the offensive line? The help they need at edge rusher? You know, some of these guys like Chop Robinson and Patrick Paul kind of suggest maybe they did get what they needed there. But if those guys aren't what they think they are, then, you know, they're back to square one. And also, let's not forget that the Dolphins are in what you would call a win now state. And they can't afford for these guys to need 3 years to develop, because 3 years from now, who's to say if Tyreek Hill is still going to be on this team? By then, his salary is going to be astronomical based on the current contract. So whatever holes they had, they need those things to be filled right away. And that's really going to be the test for this draft class. Can they contribute right away, or are they going to need time? You know, up until the start of last year, people would have had some really harsh things to say about Austin Jackson. Some guys just need a little bit more time than others. What would you say about Austin Jackson now? Well, I would say the Dolphins are pretty well set at right tackle for a while now. So let's see.
All right. Well, I'll give them a C+ for now then. Too much nuance, Hal. We want a hot take here now. I guess then you probably won't want to answer this question, because I was going to ask you next. Are they better today than they were at this time last week?
They certainly ought to be. I mean, they just drafted a bunch of guys. You know, to say that they're not better than they were this time last week would be to discount all of the guys they just picked. And, you know, I for one, certainly in the case of a guy like Jalen Wright running faster than these F1 cars, I would not write him off by any stretch. So yeah, they're better than they were last week, certainly.
All righty. And do you believe between the draft and free agency, because the Dolphins brought in several, you know, a couple of big name free agents, would you say that they have done enough to finally overtake the Bills and win the AFC East, or are they a wild card team again? How do you think they are now?
I don't know if the Bills are as good as they were last year, for one thing. So it really comes down to what about the other teams in the AFC East, just to start. I don't think that the Patriots are going to be a factor in the title race for the division. And it really would then turn to the Jets. How much better will they be with Aaron Rodgers? I'm not sure that they'll be a division champion. So I would look for Miami and Buffalo to be the two teams at the top of the division. And I think that, yes, Miami can win the division title, but really the question is, even if they do win it and they'll get a home game in the playoffs, can they take that step and finally win a playoff game and finally get to the divisional round or even the conference title game? That's really the test of whether this season is a success or not. and for that matter, whether this whole program that they've been going through for the past few years of rebuilding, whether it's a success or not, you have to at least win some playoff games and finally get that off their back. And then we can talk about even a bigger picture of, you know, finally getting back into a Super Bowl.
All right, so does this mean you'll still stick to your word? Because you've said this before, and now it's another year aged. Are you going to eat your 40-year-old Danny bar if they win the Super Bowl?
You know, I knew where you were going when you started to ask. But you really want me to down this thing, don't you? Pretty soon it's probably going to be a thing where by the time I get around to saying I'm going to eat it, it probably when I unwrap it, it would be some sort of in a state that like burns your fingers off or something, you know. I can't imagine that it's even edible right now. The question is whether it's some sort of destructive power. I'm afraid that if I drop it or something, it might explode. I don't know. If I told Marino I had one of his Danny bars, he'd probably look at me like I was nuts.
Well, you know, it's a shame chocolate doesn't age like wine, because you're right. Who knows what that thing would look like? But, you know, they recently were doing some sort of home rebuild. I read about it. I don't know what state, but they found McDonald's that like some fries and a burger that had been in a wall for like 50 years. And the burger still looked the same. And the fries had never really like changed color. So yeah, let's not eat it, Hal. I won't stick it to you anymore with that.
Yeah, I can't imagine that even Dan has a Danny bar. Although if chocolate did age like wine, then this Danny bar, you know, I would probably be able to retire just off the profits from this Danny bar.
Well, maybe you could sell it at a collectible shop or on eBay or something. Be interesting. People buy anything these days.
Maybe I'll put it on eBay just to see what the highest bid is, and I'll get back to you next time we chat and let you know if anyone even bids 27 cents for it.
Ooh, that is a great idea. Maybe I'll get it for 13 cents. Dan Marino wore number 13. But all right, Hal, well, I appreciate it. Is there anything else that you want to add about the 2024 NFL draft or anything about the Dolphins in general?
Just that, you know, we've got working camp coming up, and behind that are OTAs and all of that good stuff, mini camp. And then there'll be a break where everyone can catch their breath, and regroup before we get into the real business of training camp and those joint practices that I'm sure are becoming more and more popular with the coaches. So before you know it, there'll be a lot of football stuff going on once again. And let's not also forget, I'll throw out that, you know, we've got a local man, Devin Hester, going into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And that'll really kick off the NFL preseason. So that's another thing to look forward to.
All righty. Absolutely. Well, you can read all of his work at palmbeachpost.com, and you can follow him on X/Twitter at Gunner Hal. Hal, it's always a pleasure. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And that will do it for another episode of the State of Florida Sports Podcast. I'm Tim Walters, and to quote Dolphins all-time great Dan Marino, my parents would always say, it doesn't matter if it's a guy picking up the garbage or the President of the United States. Treat everybody as you would want to be treated. I couldn't agree more, Dan. And treat me like a VIP by joining me again next time.
Just gonna run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.